Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Hope your week is going well. Pam and Ricky join me today for your listener questions, and we get some good ones. Deanna asks about a great place to have a nice meal for a pool day, but before heading over to Epcot for Epcot After Hours, so we give some great suggestions there. We also get a fun question from listener Jennifer about tipping all over Walt Disney World and on Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney. What is the proper way to go about tipping for things like tour guides and bartenders and bell services and mousekeeping nowadays? So we have a nice discussion around that. And we also get another, just speaking of tips, we get a listener tip for guests that might be staying at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort and have rooms that face the beach because of extra late night hard ticket events. If you have kids, you want to have a heads up on these specific rooms. This and much more coming your way on today's show. Hope you enjoy it. As always, today's podcast is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney trip for no additional cost to you. Check out all the details over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link. It's one extra click, and it supports us throughout the year. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you so much to our Patreon supporters. You make all these shows possible. Just $5 a month supports us, keeps us going, and you get a bonus show called Mike in the Midwest. It's a win-win. So come on over, support us this week. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPod.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2471 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you're having a great week and you got a little jingle jangle left in your pocket after tax day on Monday. Maybe you got your refund. I mean, I don't know how you do it, but I'm one of those people that's always, kind of always worried about, don't want to pay. I remember when I was, had my first job. I started working when I was 14 at the skating rink. And so, got a little under, I shouldn't say this, got one Uncle Sam coming after me from when I was 14. But, I just basically got paid in ding-dongs and hot dogs and Pepsis behind the snack bar at that point. But I remember, you get that first paycheck, the first time you're working when you're young and you don't get enough pulled out because you don't think you're going to work enough. I worked like crazy when I was like 14, 15 because I just liked to work. I enjoyed my job. I was a DJ at a skating rink and I just got free soda and hot dogs and got to hang out at the skating rink and play music. What was there not to like, right? Worked a ton of hours, made a lot of money, but I didn't set up my taxes right on that first, part-time job. Boom, get hit with like owing a bunch of tax when you're 16. I still have nightmares from that now that I'm 50. So now I always overpay my taxes. So what I do, I get a tax refund now. That's, what I call that? That's the, we go on vacation to Walt Disney World or take a cruise every summer. That's what I use for my vacation fund. It's like the old Christmas fund back in the day that I think my grandma used to use. We used to go up to the savings and loan and do the Christmas club. I just let the government make some interest and, hopefully fill some potholes around St. Charles County. I don't know how you do it, but that's how I see it. And hopefully, you've survived tax day and we're here on a Wednesday and we're all making it through together. So that's my little story to get us going here in mid-April. So joining us today, we have Ricky. She's over at themouseforless.com and at disneyworldafterall.com. Ricky, did the government shake you dry, or did you get a little bonus in April? How you doing?
Oh, I never get a bonus in April.
why did I guess that?
I always owe money.
I think that like you could look at people, like if you know people, you could probably guess, like it's like a game, right? Refund or owe? And I bet you could probably guess who like overpays or who like underpays throughout the year.
I like holding on to my money until the very end. So the only reason we actually did our taxes last weekend instead of this weekend was the fact that We were going to Walt Disney World. So like, we're like last minute people pretty much. I mean, seriously, we wait until almost the exact day of tax pay. And yeah, no, we always owe money because I'll give them their money when they're ready to get their money. I'm not giving them a loan. So
that makes it, I can't believe like you're giving me like I'm sweating bullets for you. Like that just makes me so nerd. I still remember when I got that, like, you know, you owe, when I was like, 15. I remember that.
I'm married to Mr. Fiscally Responsible. Oh. So he sets up so that we have a budget. So he sets up our budget so that he knows that we're going to end up owing taxes at, you know, in April. So he sets up an amount that he's guessing we're probably going to owe. Oh. And we earned money back this year because we didn't owe as much as we thought we were going to. So that was a positive. So I may end up getting my bathroom that I've been wanting for a while.
We're getting old because that's exciting times for us now. We're getting a bathroom. Oh, my God. We're the oldest podcast on the internet at this point.
Trust me. I would like a spa-like bathroom. What I have is not. So if I could have some extra money to pay for my spa-like bathroom that I would like to have, I'll take it. So
please tell me it's one of those bathrooms that got like the tub with like the swing in door so you don't fall and hurt your hip.
No, right now I have just the basic tub. So like it's, you know, it doesn't have any fanciness to it. So okay. I actually want just a shower, okay. No tub, just a shower.
That'll be 5 years down the line. So that'll be goals for, 2029. All right. Also joining us, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less. Pam, please tell me you don't wait till like 0 hour to pay your taxes. I mean, it's making me uncomfortable right now.
Well, I will tell you that they got put in the mail today. They always do. Because as a business owner, we always owe money.
Yes.
We have we pay quarterly taxes, Steve pays taxes throughout. I mean, it's a never ending tax.
And then April to June, like it's not 3 months. I hate this little cycle. Oh,
I know, because we have to pay what we owe for the year and our first quarter taxes at this point. So, but we do have an account that we set money in and we get the return back from our CPA at some point, but Steve will not mail them until the actual
day. Good job, Steve!
And not only that, he used to write in the memo line, "Stop wasting my money," when he paid, and I said, "You need to stop that. You're going to get audited in." So he did not do it this year.
Oh my God.
I thought you were going to say he pays in pennies.
Hang on. That makes me love Steve even more. I'm not going to lie. That whole story makes me love Steve even more. So
we're very prepared for it. The money's always there, ready to pay.
Yes, you're prepared, but you don't want to do it any earlier than you have to. No, exactly. No. Yes.
They don't need any more time with my money than they have. Correct. So.
Thank you. All right.
So God bless America. Let's go. All right. So let's jump into the Disney talk. We have questions. Deanna's here. She's always here. We love Deanna. She's just one of our great supporters. Thank you for being here today. She says, need to decide what dinner to book on a pool day before we head to extended evening hours at Epcot. We're staying at the Grand and leaning towards Citrico's, but open to suggestions. So she sounds like she needs a fancy dinner. I'm out. I'm going to throw it over to Pam Forrester first. Fanciest.
Just
of the
call
three.
Me Pam Fancy Dinner Forrester.
That's what I'm doing.
No, I think the Citrico's is a really solid choice. I mean, I love the update that they did to this restaurant with the Mary Poppins theme and whatnot. I will say that I am more partial to Narcoossee's than Citrico's. I think Citrico's is very good, but there's just something about Narcoossee's that I really, really enjoy. I really like the restaurant since they redid it. I also think that, it just has that fantastic view. And then the other thing is check out the menus of both and see if one appeals to you more than the other. That should be your guide too. And because you're on the Monorail Resort, you also have all the restaurants available at the Contemporary and at the Polynesian too, if one of those sort of fit the bill.
The other one I was going to suggest, just because of if they wanted to go like directly over that's it's one of your favorites. Actually, it's usually at the top of your list, Flying Fish. Mm. Right? Would that be a possibility? Because it's
agreed, kind of, and then you can just walk into Epcot. Right. I think Flying Fish is fantastic too. That potato wrap snapper is so good. But Steve always says it's one of the best steaks on property, really and truly, is at Flying Fish. Their scallops are fantastic. Look at this, like I have the menu in my memory.
It's like you just seated Deanna and now you're giving them the chef specials.
I know, right? Their drinks are great. So lots of good things to choose over there too. Yeah, absolutely.
Ricky?
I think you guys picked two of the best options. Or three, I guess I should say, of Narcoossee's, Citricos, or Flying Fish. You know, we just had Flying Fish for my brother's reception dinner. It was my first time having the snapper, red snapper that Pam has talked so much about, and it was delicious. So I
that too, sauce, right? Yeah. Don't you want, I like, you want a little cup of the sauce.
I do. I know. I wish there was maybe a little less of the, oh my gosh, what's the, it's the onions, but they're
the
not
leek fondue.
Leeks. Yes. I wish there was a little less
so
leeks.
It's so good.
But I mean, I like the fondue part of it. Just a little less leek would have been nice. But yeah, it was so good. I very much enjoyed it. And I would probably, if you're going over to Epcot after anyway, I might say lean more toward the Flying Fish option. So I think that's going to be a really good choice.
Score one for Mike, who's never been to
Flying Fish. Who knew Mike would come up with something that was actually.
I listen. You know. I've never been to Flying Fish, but
yeah, I
listen.
Yeah, I was going to say he listens because he's never been there in his life.
I do want to go there. But, you know, again, it's hard to get my wife and girls to go to a place called Flying Fish. They don't like seafood. They have a hard time just walking. They have a hard time just walking past Cape May because of the smell. I'm just saying.
But that's different. Cape May literally has a buffet of flavors.
Crab legs.
Of seafood. Yeah.
Crab legs and clams and mussels are sitting right
those
there.
Those are going to have a more potent smell than, I mean, I walked into Flying Fish and I don't think I remember smelling fish ever. So.
And it's so pretty.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I need to go on the inside.
All right, Sarah's got a question in the inbox. Hey, Mike, longtime listener, first time question asker. I'm trying to decide between visiting Disney World this July with my soon-to-be 2-year-old while I'm in my second trimester, or wait until next July when my oldest will be soon-to-be 3-year-old while his brother will be 9 months old. Is either option worth it? My oldest is as loud and rambunctious as they come. No shame at all. We love his spirit. Well, it's good. And I'm not sure if waiting another year would help him like the park more, or if going at either time is just going to be hard for him. Truthfully, he'd probably be happier playing with rocks and monster trucks for a week rather than instead of a theme park. My husband and I are longtime Disney goers, but this would be our first trip since our children. I wanted to post this question in the BR Guest podcast group. Couldn't find a way to do it. I'm very interested to hear what you guys would think and what your experiences have been. What do you think our kids' experiences would churn out? So she wants to know, what would you do? Would you go now or would you wait until he's almost three? Because she says she's in her second trimester now.
Yeah.
And it would be July also.
Ooh.
But I mean, Pam went down. I'm trying to think. Mallory was born in January. We celebrated our anniversary at Walt Disney World, and that was in June. So she was pregnant. But that wouldn't, I guess that'd have been in the like.
Wouldn't she be like, if she's in her second trimester now, wouldn't she be like almost ready to pop in July, or would she have had the baby by then?
I can't do the pregnant math.
I know, then. I can't add the math. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if that's the case, or is she going to be in her second trimester?
I think she's going to be in her second
trimester. That's where I was like, I don't think she'd be able to go in July if that's the case. As someone who has been the most recently pregnant, Mike definitely hasn't. So I would probably suggest waiting until next year. Just because the parks are going to make you so tired out, you know, being in your second trimester is not easy for sure. And I think that you'll have just a little bit better of a time with having the your son with you, as well as both sons, I think, right, is what she said. So mm-hmm. I would think you'd have a better time with that than trying to, you know, force yourself in that second trimester. I just think you're going to be way more exhausted than you think you're going to be in the park. And, you know, having a rambunctious son already is going to add to that. So I think I might wait. That's
And I think she's worried about, like, her son being more, like, you know, excited about playing with his toys. And, you know, like, that's age appropriate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think a 2-year-old is going to understand the abstractness of we're going to Walt Disney World. We're going to a place that's a theme park. We're going to get to meet characters like that. That's not age appropriate. Like, they're not going to understand that kind of an experience at that age. So when you go there, of course, they're going to, I think you would have a good time with you and your husband.
Absolutely.
He's going to have a good time. But yes, probably the thing he will enjoy the most is, and she mentioned maybe staying at Pop Century, is the pool, you know, and probably playing on the playground at Pop Century. That's probably what he's going to want to do more than going to the Magic Kingdom and riding rides. But that's not your kid. That's every kid at that age, Pam. I mean, can you speak to that, do you think?
So I will say that my advice is always to go and take a trip and not to put it off. That's just true. Too many things that get in the way that, and then you don't have those experiences. And I think it's a rare child that doesn't find something to connect with on a Disney vacation in particular. And the other thing I always like to point out is that so much of travel is sort of helping your child learn how to learn things in different ways and exposing them to different things, which really opens up a lifetime of being exposed and learning different things. And the other part of travel is the experiences that you all get to have together. I think one of the things that just hurts my heart when people say it is, I'm not taking him until he's this age because he's never going to remember it. And I'm like, for the first, I don't know how many years of your child's life, you spend time doing things that they're never going to remember.
Yeah,
exactly. And the reason why you do that is to help shape them into the little human being that they become, but for also for you to remember and for you to connect based on those things. So for me, that's why I'm always of the mind of taking the trip. And I don't just say that with kids. I say it with, take the trip with your parents, take the trip with your siblings, take the trip with friends, take the trip. There is so much to be gained from that. So that's why I say it. I completely understand that sometimes traveling, you know, when you're pregnant is not always the easiest, but the second trimester is actually probably one of the better times to go. The first can be dicey.
I wouldn't know that, but you know.
And the last can be challenging too for different reasons. And then after a period in time, your OBGYN probably won't want you to travel. So that's something to think about. The other thing is that sometimes when you have two kids, it is doubly challenging. And so that's something to take into effect too. Although I do find babies are really easy typically to travel with.
They are. Wait, they are easier than toddlers. Oh,
they are. They are for sure. But yeah, lots of things to think about. I don't think there's any right or wrong answer though. You know, go when you feel it's going to work the best for you.
That's good. Good advice. Babies were easier. Once they start to have a mind of their own and they get mobile. They start pulling junk off shelves.
That's what we're getting with Lucy. It's starting to get fun over here.
It's on. And you know, it's not bad taking two kids. Just have them 11 years apart. It's a little bit easier.
Yeah, right.
That helps. Anyway, all right, so this next question, hang with me on this one, because this came from a guest who the first part of the email was Mike. I'm going on my cruise here next month, pay my gratuities, because I need to get my gratuities paid for my cruise. So that's the first part of the email, but then it sparked a question for the podcast. So Jennifer writes me, and she's sailing concierge, I'm so jealous, on an Alaska cruise here next month.
Nice.
Jennifer, bring a podcaster. Come on, bring a poor podcaster with you. Anyway, she says, this is a potential podcast question / topic, and it got me thinking about it was the cruise gratuities above in our last trip. She says, I was blessed to stay club level at Grand Floridian, and we did Keys to the Kingdom, Sangria University, and Spanish Tiles. I called in and gave a mini live trip report. We got into a the Spanish Tiles was that experience over at Coronado Springs at the up in the Dahlia Lounge. Mm-hmm. She says, we got into a discussion about all who all we should tip and how much. What do you and the BOGP crew think about tipping and what is appropriate in these situations? I think most people know about tipping for dining, but what about this? Okay, so she gives kind of a list. So let me go through the list and we'll kind of just have a discussion in general. She says, additional tours. Keys to the Kingdom, Wild Africa Trek, Caring for Giants, Living with the Land. So I guess that'd be not Living with the Land, but what's that called? The
Behind the Seeds.
Behind the Seeds, yes, thank you, etc. I think it's known that if you do a VIP tour, you're expected to tip. But what about these other ones? Activities offered at resorts, Spanish mosaic tiles, the painting classes, etc. Sangria University and beverage tastings, both at the resorts and on cruises. Club level stays. Do you tip the bartender pouring the wines and the cast members who clear your dishes, etc.? Additional cruise gratuities, serving team hosts and concierge lounge, mousekeeping, front desk concierge, bell services, delivering bags to your room and holding bags for you. Transportation. Again, I think most people tip to and from the airport, Uber, Lyft, etc. Adventures by Disney tours. Again, I think this one is a bit more known, and I believe it may even be suggested on the website, but I can't remember. Any other situations I missed? Thanks. Sorry, that's a lot of scenarios. So it might be more of a simple question and more of a whole topic. I think tipping is one of those things people aren't sure about and are scared to mess up. And I think it could be something that's too personal to talk about too, but I thought I'd throw it out there. As always, thanks so much for all your help. And thanks to the BOGP crew for always keeping my dog and me entertained on our walks, Jennifer Fritz. And shout out to the doggy. So hopefully we're also keeping the dog. I love that. We not only keep humans entertained, we're also pet friendly.
Right.
I think it is kind of personal for tipping, but I think it is also something that is, if you're not educated, and I'm one of those people too, like I want to make sure I always do the right thing, but there's a lot of situations that I'm not in frequently enough that I understand the what is the protocol. You know, like what is like, do I tip this person? You know, what is expected? And a lot of times I always do tip. Like I'm one of those people that if I'm not sure I tip, and I probably tip too much because I don't know. I just feel like it's better to, you know, it's just better to be nice than not. You know, like if I'm not sure, I'll just give 20, 25, 30% tip. And maybe you're not even supposed to tip that person. For example, like with bell services, I don't even know if this is the rule, but like I tip the person that I give my, say like you get there early. Everybody's gonna be like, Mike, you're an idiot. Okay. You guys drop your bags when you get there early and your room's not ready. Do you tip them when you drop your bags and when you pick up your bags both?
Usually, yeah.
Okay, because I don't know who's getting the tip, right? I mean, because like I've only tipped it one way.
I think it goes into a pool, but yes,
I've heard that, but I just don't want to like one guy to get gypped out of his tip. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, as far as I remember from working in a hotel, it absolutely gets pooled.
Okay, because I mean, I've heard that, right? But I mean, I don't want to be. I always feel bad, like if I give my bags to some dude and I don't tip that guy. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's probably why it gets pooled now.
Right,
right.
But I always feel bad, like, because I'm not giving this cat, like, I give, like, $2 or $3 a bag. So, like, I give that guy a tip, like, a 10 for, like, a few bags. And then, you know, when somebody comes to my room, I'll give him another 10. I mean, it adds up. But, I mean, I figure, here's my rule. And this is just me. I'm not preaching this to the choir. I'm not saying you have to do this. But here's how I've always looked at tipping. If you are lucky enough to get to go to a place like Walt Disney World, or if you're lucky enough to get to go to like on a Disney cruise, hopefully you have enough to spread the wealth a little bit with tipping. You know what? Like that's how I look at it. Like if I can help the people who are serving me to make this vacation better, I should have enough put to the side where I can tip where I can. And if I, you know, like my bartenders, my serving team, my room steward, you know, all these people that are helping me do things that are going to make my vacation better, bring my bags, because schlepping those bags around Coronado Springs is a hard job. mean, if you're in the Ranchos and they're dragging those suckers all the way out there, that's a long way. I mean, hook them up. You know, like, that's just the way I see it. You don't have to see it that way. That's me. But, Pam, how about these situations? What do you think? Like, point some of those out. Like, I don't know, club level stays. I've never done that. What do you do there?
If the concierge is particularly helpful to us, like if they assist with something or whatnot, we definitely do tip that staff. I can't remember if they have to be one that have to refuse it three times before they can take it or not. Not sure. But the other thing is, too, if we get to know one of the club level staff, too, and spend time with them and whatnot, and we just find them to be helpful, we definitely will. We were just there not too long ago and stayed club level at Coronado. And I will tell you, the staff there is fantastic. Like, spent time with us, talked with us, remembered us, all of that. And I think there's just, you know, there's a lot of room for that. Like you, I feel very fortunate to be traveling there, and I do want to make sure that I'm tipping the folks who are helping us. You know, we tend to over tip wait staff just because it's like we're just really appreciative of the time that they spend caring for us, and it's that kind of position. So
I will say, at restaurants, I let Pam do the gratuity because Pam worked for years and years as a server. Like, she, even when she was her first 3 years of teaching, at night, she worked at a Mexican restaurant and she worked at Applebee's, both as a server. And so she knows how hard it is to do that job. So she definitely compensates servers well. But I always give, like, I just hand her the credit card because she always, you know, I'm like, you know this and you got this. So at restaurants, she's always in charge of gratuity. And I just tell her, give whatever you think's right. And she starts, I think, at 25%. Because, I mean, she's like, Mike, it's a harder job than you even know. Like, I don't know. I never did it. Because I always say, I'd like to do that for a night. Like at LS Tekka. I'm like, she's like, you don't want to do that. She's like, you couldn't do that. She's like, you complain about when you're working on the couch. She's like, I'd pay money to see you working on LS Tekka on a Friday night. She's like, you think it's just running the chips and salsa? She's like, I would pay so much money to see you on a Friday night at LS Tekka. You would be done. I'm like, no, I could do it. I could swing some fajitas. She's like, it's so hard. Anyway, Ricky, what do you do philosophically with tipping in all these positions? Like, what's your rule? What do you think?
Yeah, actually, it was a kind of interesting. I had a conversation with my brother-in-law, Kevin, this weekend. He's actually a bartender at Margaritaville at Universal. And, you know, we were having a conversation about, people were asking him about different drinks and things like that. And he was assisting them and, you know, trying to help them. And it was a larger party. And like, they didn't even like leave him a tip at all.
I get it. Right. Because in travel, right. I mean, Pam knows this, like there's a lot of times where we'll book a trip, you know, we'll spend hours and hours and the guest has to cancel. And when that happens, we get $0.
Right.
We've spent hours. I mean, it happens, and that's just part of the job.
Right.
But that's just wrong when people do that. I mean, not for us. I mean, we understand things happen for us, but I mean, like in a service industry like that, where people are there and like people shouldn't do that, like at a bar. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're right there. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, it's kind of one of those things where like, I mean, everybody should know. I mean, I would think that everybody knows, like, you know, at least a buck or, you know, whatever.
Not even a buck. That's even worse.
Oh, and that, no, but at least it's something, you know, instead of nothing. I mean, that's, you know what I'm worse. Saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, I would rather have that than nothing. So, you know, that's kind of like my theory on that. I used to work at Starbucks. I know there's a lot of like, you know, people who say, oh, you know, why are you tipping Starbucks or, you know, drink, you know, makers? It's a lot more. There's a lot more process to a barista than you think there is. Yes, we did get paid an actual wage, you know, not the server kind of wage. But You know, I will tell you, making Frappuccinos is the bane of my existence. They are not easy to do. So if you're ordering like 20 Frappuccinos, please consider tipping your baristas. You know, just stuff like that. You got to think about the work that's going in, extra work maybe that's going into making whatever you're doing. I'm not sure about the tours at Walt Disney World. I don't know if they can accept tips or if it's like the Pam things that what she said, you have to, you know, try three times. I'm not 100% sure about those. But other than that, like, you know, just make sure you take care of people. You know, they're there to help you. And, you know, just if you can, please try to do so.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I, you know, we always leave like $5 or, you know, a tip or something in the room for mousekeeping. But it's you know, it used to be like more straightforward 10 years ago, right? Because it was every day.
Right. Oh, that's true.
It's like so hit or miss nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just feels like it was easier. Not that I don't want to keep tipping. And I do. I leave it there. But a lot of times my room doesn't get cleaned every day. Right?
Yeah,
I
mean, that's always actually...
It's a little bit more... You know, it used to be like more of a kind of a fun thing back in the day. Like, I used to remember, like, you'd have envelopes and...
Yeah.
It was like a fun activity. Now it's just
housekeeping, mousekeeping is actually one of the ones that I go back and forth with Brian on because, you know, he's in the hotel industry. So I always, you know, we have this discussion a lot of times on, do you tip a housekeeper or do you not? You know, so that one, we go back and forth on. So it depends on what happens with our room and things like that. Sometimes we do with that tip at that point and sometimes we don't. It just kind of depends on, you know, that. But he's in the industry. So like, I, you know, it's also one of those things where we go back and forth about it all the time. So we don't ever have a like set rule though on housekeeping for us. So,
but it's so weird because like you don't have maybe you do. I don't, that's my question. You know, like you probably don't have like a consistent housekeeper throughout your stay. I would assume
most of the time. I don't think you do. Sometimes
I don't think so either. So I think like if you're gonna tip, you should do it
daily,
each day. Yeah.
So is there anything else in that list though that we didn't? I mean, like on the cruises, obviously, like for tastings, and because they give you a bill at the end, so you just tip immediately for stuff like that. Your room steward. The good news about Cruise Line is you hook that up. That's automatic. Like you're not gonna miss. But you can do additional. That's, I don't know if people know this. I mean, if you have, and the thing is, I mean, I've not ever had like a room steward with Disney Cruise Line, and I mean, I'm platinum. I've sailed a few times. Like, they're like ninjas. They're like stealth.
They are.
I mean, you'll meet them because they'll come and meet you like on arrival day, on embarkation day, and ask you if you have any requests or, you know, they want to get to know you. But then after that, a lot of times you might see them in the evening, you know, like when you're coming back to your room between maybe dinner and, you know, you're going out for the night to have fun. But I mean, like you never see them like making your room into like the night mode. I always call it night mode, right? Where like they pull your bed down, pull the bunk down. I mean, they're like ninjas, but the room is perfect all the time. And so, I mean, if you want to give them a little extra, hook them up, you know.
No, but absolutely.
What about Cruise Line? Anything around there?
They give you the envelope. So you, if you've prepaid gratuities, you'll have a little slip that you can put in the envelope, but you can also put extra cash in there. I know that sometimes people bring, things from home to give, you know, to sometimes the staff there. So that's something to think about. All your drinks, you're going to have a line where you can sign, and your tastings too. There will be a gratuity line for that as well.
That's dangerous because you're drunk.
That's true. They know it.
Yeah, for sure. Especially after your tasting.
You should probably let somebody else do that. Yeah, exactly.
And there's a line item like when you're doing spa services and other things like that too. Did we hit on most of the items? ABD, you absolutely will tip your guides. There is information that comes with your packet that talks about that. I think we touched on most of the things.
But like Ricky said, do you know the rule for the like the tours, like caring for giants? Like
I don't know that they can accept tips. I'm not sure that they can either.
Yeah.
What about photo pass photographers? Can you hook them?
No.
For Kim Taylor.
No, I don't.
I don't know that they're allowed to accept tips.
I don't think so. Yeah. I'm sorry. We tried.
Yeah. The best, let me just say this though. The best thing to do for those cast members who cannot be tipped is to make sure you do a cast compliment. Absolutely. So you can do it in the app or in My Disney Experience if you would like. But if you really want to go above and beyond, which is what I suggest doing, is go to guest relations and make sure that you, you know, tell them about what happened, who the cast member was, and everything like that, because that will go in their file. And that means so much more to them than anything else. Trust me. Like, it is huge when they get those cast compliments.
And on Cruise Line, at the end of the cruise survey, call them by name and explain why they made your cruise better, because that's how they move up through the ranks. And that's, yes. I mean, that's the ultimate goal for their next contract on Cruise Line, mm-hmm. is just mm-hmm. say them by name and explain why they made your cruise better. That's, you know, because you talk about short-term gain, long-term gain, that's long-term gain. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, tip them, but also do that. Say, you know, Xander, my server, was amazing, and this is how I made my cruise better. Don't forget that. And don't forget to turn it in, because there was one cruise, I'm not kidding, like, we took all the time to fill that sucker out, and, like, we were back at Walt Disney World. That thing was in my back pocket. I was like, oh, we mailed it, I think, like, when we got back. But it's, like, one of those things, because that thing's like a post, like, graduate, you know.
Yeah, I know. We did ours the last time, and it fell out of our our bag, because it was, like, on, and I'm like, well, I hope they found it somewhere. Someone put it.
Oh, Felicia says, we tried to tip the photographer to Lonnie because we asked for some extra photos and she would not let us.
Yeah, so, some of them. And that's the thing. If the cast member tells you that they can't accept a tip, you can't push it too much, because they could literally get in trouble for taking a tip if they're not allowed to. Disney has very clear, you know, you can tip this position, you cannot. So,
yes.
That's the thing.
All right. We have a listener tip. I love when our listeners have tips. So here goes: Magic Kingdom fireworks at the Polynesian, from William. He's in Del Mar, New York. He says, my family and I just got back from 9 nights at the Polynesian and spent the last 4 nights staying club level with a theme park view. It was amazing, of course, and we had a great time, but we learned something on our last night that I wish we knew heading in. It's well known that they pipe the music into the Polynesian Beach for Happily Ever After. It's quite loud to watch the fireworks from the Hawaii building, but at 8:45, that's not a big deal with two young kids that go to bed right after. Or that, he said, it's not a big deal. What I wasn't aware of is on nights where there's a special ticketed event at the Magic Kingdom, they show Enchantment at 11:45, and they also piped the music in at the Polynesian Beach at the same volume. It was loud enough to wake me up and would have been a welcome surprise on night one, not so much on night nine. But it's something that I think people should be aware of. One, because if you have young kids that might wake them up from loud noises at 11:15, you might want to avoid rooms near the Polynesian Beach on the Magic Kingdom special event nights. But two, this could also make for a really fun night for a couple of adults that enjoy fireworks. Have dinner at Kona or Ohana, watch Happily Ever After, then head to Trader Sam's or Tambu Lounge for a couple of drinks, then head for Enchantment on the Beach. Great evening at the Polynesian for a couple of Disney adults. Anyway, just wanted to make you guys and the listeners aware of this, because it's something that could be a hiccup for young families, but could also be a great opportunity for adult travelers. Thanks for everything, Bill, Del Mar, New York. So that's great, because it has positives and negatives. You know, if you're adults and you want to see it, you know, a ticketed event there, have make a night at the Polynesian, 11:15, blasting some fireworks music. Hey, Disney adults, rock on. Four-year-olds in your room? What's up, you know?
It is true. And I will also give one of my tips that we've always done. Tips for traveling with kids and just yourself. When Han was little, we traveled with a sound machine. Of course, it's so much easier now to use one of the sound apps on your phone, but that takes away being able to hear all of the different noises that are, you know, something that you aren't used to hearing. In a hotel, there's always going to be noise that you're not familiar with. And being able to get a good night's sleep, I think, especially when you're traveling, is important. So if you sort of normalize the sound machine or a sound app or whatnot, that actually takes a lot of that away. So try that out. See if it works for you.
Built right into your iPhone's iOS. That sound.
Exactly.
Oh, I love it. And the water sound has like birds chirping. I use it all the time. It is wonderful. It's under the notifications, but the upper right hand corner, if you just pull it down, if there's an ear, just click on the ear and it plays. You don't have to download an app. It's part of the iOS.
It really helps. It just really does. And it always made sleeping easier. I mean, especially, I think a hotel situation is so weird because it's like your whole family's there in that one room, right?
Yeah.
Many times. And it's like, that's not how you sleep at home. And there's different voices.
Honest to God, that's the truth. Cause I have to have it dark. And of course, Mallory's got to have like her laptop cause she's got to watch Netflix. I'm like, dude, it's lights out at 11 o'clock. She's like, yeah, I'll go to bed till one. I'm like, dude, it's lights out. It's lights out. Stop. Quit. I get up at 4 o'clock. You're just nodding off. I got to run. Knock it off. Right. You learn way too much about your family on vacation. I'm telling you.
It does. Craziness. Yeah. That's true.
You think it's fun. It's kind of fun.
All right.
Last question of the day. It's from, looks like Carly Lee. What's her question? Birthday trip. Hey, BRG crew. I'm lucky enough to be spending my birthday in Walt Disney World this June. I've never been for a birthday before. Wanted to see if you guys had any suggestions on what activities, dining reservations, or other add-ons I can do to make my trip extra special. It's just me and my fiance going, and we're staying at the Polynesian. This is the Polynesian show. We're planning on spending most of our park days in the Magic Kingdom and Epcot. Also, we thought of adding on Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, but have never been, so we weren't sure if that's a good move. Thanks in advance, Carly. All right, Carly, so I'm going to tell you. At 11:15 on party nights, there's going to be music piped in on the Polynesian. So go there. I heard that about 15 minutes ago. No, that's pretty good, though. But, no, happy birthday in June. So what do we say? Hoop-Dee-Doo, always a great. I love Hoop-Dee-Doo. Do it. If you like any kind of, like, I mean, it's folksy. But the food is awesome. Like, if you like fried chicken, strawberry shortcake, like, if you like glorified Cracker Barrel food, but it's good and it's all you can eat, and you like free, like, all of you can drink, like, sangria and beer and stuff, rock on. Go over to, in Fort Wilderness, you got to just get over there. Fort Wilderness is fun to visit. I say definitely do that. It's worth it. Okay, everybody, one suggestion, Ricky, add on dining reservation, something like that, before we wrap.
Well, I have two, because I'm going to cheat. One is Trader Sam's. I think that would be a lot of fun. That's so correct. Make sure, since you're staying at the Poly, I think make sure you do that. And the second thing is, we talked about earlier about doing a tour or something like that. I think like a fun little tour that would be great is the Caring for Giants tour, the one with the elephants. I think that would be a really great, it's not super expensive, but you get a unique experience that's unlike anything else. So I'm going to say to do that. There's also the rhino one too, but I mean, there's just something about elephants that I would just rather experience that one over the rhino one, but I think that they'd both be excellent. So that's my suggestion.
What do you got against rhinos?
I mean, I don't, but I mean, I like the big floppy ears of the elephants. Mm.
You're just an Alabama fan. Roll Tide. I like it.
No, I'm not.
So Lisa approves down in Coronado Springs right now. Okay, Pam, wrap it up. Give her one fun thing to add on to her birthday celebration. I mean, she's already at the Polynesian, so she's 95% of the way.
Right. There. I'm going to cheat too. So
yay.
It's what we do. It's what we've been doing for 16 years.
Yeah. Hello. I'm not going to break tradition at this point. So I think since you're at the Polynesian, you might want to try Ohana because people love the Ohana. And I think there's something to be said about embracing the resort that you're staying at and taking advantage of actually being there. And the other thing I was going to suggest too is consider the dining plan, especially if you're going to do some of these restaurant locations, because it could actually save you money. And the other thing it will do is help you pay for everything before you get there. And then you have the convenience of that. So for those couple of things, look into that and see if it works for you.
I have one more suggestion.
No, here we go. Now we're cheating to another level.
Yeah, okay, now I'm totally cheating to another level. Okay. So on the My Disney Experience app, because I forgot she's staying at the Polynesian. So before you go to bed, do this one night. they have the ability to mobile order, and you can mobile order, I think it's the bread pudding from Ohana. Do that one night. Just go back to your room, enjoy, or maybe the Polynesian beach, I don't know, but enjoy mobile ordered bread pudding. I feel like there's just something fantastic about that, whether you're eating it in bed or on the beach or whatever, but mobile order bread pudding.
Mobile order bread pudding, 11:15, go out on the beach, listen to Enchantment.
Hey, we're tying it all in. Look at us.
Rock on. Get a birthday cake. There you go. Put a candle in the bread pudding and have your fiance sing happy birthday to you. It all comes perfectly around.
Full circle.
Perfect. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you for the great questions. If you have questions, send those into the inbox, mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get those in the queue and we'll answer those right away. You can also join us. We record usually on Mondays right around 5:30 Eastern. All the places, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and Twitch. Not too many people watch on Twitch, but you can if you want. We're there. It's mostly people playing poker, I think. I don't know. I don't video games, but we can go there, so we do. So there you go. All right. We are always sponsored by the Magic for Less Travel. That is the great place to go when it is time to get your itch. You want to go down to a Disney destination. You want to sail with Disney Cruise Line. We'll get you a great onboard credit. You want to go to Walt Disney World? We're going to make sure that you get the best discount possible and get you booking bonuses like Disney gift cards. I just had a guest today say, Mike, you know what? I kind of laughed about that travel laundry bag, but it was clutch. I said, I'm telling you, clutch. That's the word. It is. It's clutch.
It is clutch.
I'm on my third one because I use that thing so much. I said, it comes in clutch over race weekends, man. When I have sweaty clothes, rocks.
Maybe we should be using that in our marketing.
Yeah, probably.
Hashtag clutch.
It is. I'm just saying. Bag. I mean, and almost everybody gets the laundry bag. I'm just saying. So as long as you have tickets, you're probably getting a laundry bag. So just saying. And you're going to get these emails every week or two just to get you excited for the trip, to make sure you don't miss anything like your dining reservation date, just to give you ideas about what the climate's going to be about for your time of the year, get you excited about, hey, what's going on at Galaxy's Edge? You know, Batu. It's just fun. I mean, it gets you amped up. You're a Disney fan. It's good to get some pixie dust in your inbox. And all this, no cost to you. It's the same price booking directly through Disney, and it supports our show. It's like a win-win-win-win times 10. So come on over, book your next trip with us. We'd love to help you out over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our Patreon supporters. You guys are the best. Patreon.com/brguestpodcast. When you support us, $5 a month, and you get the bonus show. It's called Mike in the Midwest. This week, we talked about my first cell phones. I go all the way back to my first cell phone was a bag phone from AT&T. It was a Motorola. And then I had the old flip phone that was like the singular one that was like a big brick and you just closed up. And then I had the Nokia, it was called the candy bar that everybody had. It stayed charged for like a week. Then it met its demise in the Lazy River. I tell that story the day before our wedding. It's wild. And then I got on an iPhone, got to meet Chingy, the rapper, in line.
Oh, that's right.
That's what you get when you become a patron. You get Mike in the Midwest. These crazy stories. So come on over to patreon.com/BRGuestPodcast. Don't forget, you can hang out with us on the Discord, which is our Be Our Guest Podcast Clubhouse. I posted pictures of all these phones over there for everybody. So just come on over, BRGuestPodcast.com/Discord today. The conversation never stops over there, for real. I posted what I was having for lunch today on the Discord. And a video, because Mallory made the cheer squad for next year. Woo, yay. And so they all met up at the H immediately after making the thing on Sunday. They how crazy is this nowadays? I mean, you want to talk about stress? They announced the teams. They did this last year too, live on Instagram on a Sunday afternoon. Who made the team? So you got to tune in live on Instagram to see if you made the cheer squad. Dude, as a dad, I'm sweating bullets, you know, on Sunday. She made it. They all rush to the football field. They have their first team meal on the 50 on the football field. Pam's the vice president of the booster club, so she's in charge of the cookie cake. So we have these huge cookie cakes. I mean, the gigantic, like the old pizza days, like with Little Caesars, like they're huge. The girls didn't eat all the second ones, so we have this big cookie cake left over, and it's back at our house now, sitting upstairs right now. So I put a video up there. So my Monday was pretty rocking when I went upstairs today at lunch and I saw that there was lots of cookie cake left over. And it's on the Discord. You get to see what it looks like. So I'm just saying, come on over to the clubhouse. Anyway, check it out. We're all on the social media. Ricky's at Ricky Nibs, R-I-K-K-I and I-B-S. I'm at BRGuest Mike. You can spell that. Pam's at TMFLT Pam. Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. We'd love to talk to you over there. And we'll have our live show Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Scott joins me, and we take your calls. Tons of fun. All right, we'll be back on Friday. Friday, we're bringing back Out of the Vault, one of our most popular shows from about 5 years ago. And it ties in with those Disney commercials. I'm telling you, I keep seeing. I saw just last night on network TV. We were watching something on, I think, CBS. And it's that commercial. It just keeps popping up with, like, the little girl. She's watching Frozen Ever After, and it says, like, 1:23 p.m. And it's just like, and then it shows the dad. He's just floating around the pool at Art of Animation. It says, like, 3:23 p.m. So we're going to do right now at Walt Disney World, or right now at Disneyland. And we're just going to give our favorite thing, because those things are always happening all the time, 365 days a year, and do an exercise in visualization of what we picture happening at the Disney parks or on the ships right now to kind of get your Friday started to kick off that weekend the right way. So come on along with us. We're going to take a virtual trip to the Disney destination. So ride right along with us on Friday. So come on back. We'll see you there. So until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.